Okay, brothers and sisters, we'd like to welcome you out to Geralyn's presentation about Mormon food. Geralyn is a graphic designer and Feminist Mormon Housewives permablogger. She also moderates the Feminist Mormon Housewives Society Facebook group. She also enjoys serving enjoys serving candlestick salad to the missionaries and creatively feeding her five children. And if you do have your cell phone so that it could ring, please turn it off. And other than that, I think Geralyn's going to take it away.
I'm going to take it away. So, I... Oh, Jane Ann.
Hi.
Okay. I feel like it's important beforehand for me to... Derek, what are you doing? for me to discuss my credentials.
Do you want to just do that to the mic?
This?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Actually, no.
I'm saying that mic is only for recording purposes. I think that's why your mouth is supposed to be close to
it. It's supposed to be close?
Okay, well, this is great. So I have 43 years in Mormon food. I don't want to brag, but I was a child prodigy, and I earned my BMI at the age of 12. We've gone to sleep. I earned it from Kraft. Took to Kraft. And I furthered my education as an intern at His Majesty's Burger Feast. I did some additional studies at BYU in the creamery division. I expanded my studies in the early 90s with focus groups on subjects that ranged from birth to toddlerhood. So it was a really difficult time in my career. And I now operate a highly scientific laboratory in Medford, Oregon, where I run a type of edible Rorschach test on 18 to 21-year-old men. So now that I have my qualifications out of the way, I'd like to get to the meat of my topic. How's that working out for you, Sarah Burlingame? All right. So, Mormon food can sometimes seem like a bit of an afterthought. It's packaged and processed foods paired with inexpensive vegetables all cobbled together in a 9x13 Pyrex pan stretched to feed dozens of children at once. But no matter where one is on the faith spectrum, Mormon food is a familiar hallmark for all of us. We can bridge the spaces in our belief with the nearly universal experience that is Mormon food. So, in my 43 years of academic work, I was able to drill down on the eating patterns of our faith. To measure these patterns, I used the ideal meal structure laid out by our beloved First Lady, Michelle Obama. And this is what Mrs. Obama says is the ideal meal configuration. Which is great. But Mormon food is a little different. It's proportionately similar, but it works a little differently. You can see... Only 2% when 10% will do. And there's some crossover with burritos or spaghetti. I wasn't able to figure out what that was. Some people are doing like this mashup burrito spaghetti thing, which was good. And let's see, so then, but mission food. So mission food is in a category all of its own. As you can see here. Well, these are some of the foods that missionaries tend to come home and introduce to unsuspecting roommates, family members, wives. I'm married a non-member, so, you know, yay. This is just what I'm noticing. But then, if I drill down further into the data, we can see that Mormons in Utah have a different eating pattern than Mormons outside of Utah. So let me show you the Mormons in Utah. This is... This is what my research... Research doesn't lie. And this is what I'm seeing. There's some confusion between Diet Coke and root beer and the avoidance of evil. But I just went ahead and went with the Diet Coke since that seems to be the most popular choice. And also Cafe Ria, Costa Vida, there's a little... anyway, you'll see. I figure you guys will let that one fly. So that's for the standard Utah Mormon. Now, in the mission field... There's an entirely different set of. Not gonna lie, this was an extremely small sample. One, me. So that's pretty much. I feel like that goes for everybody, right? We can paint it with a broad stroke. I feel like the appetites outside of Utah are maybe different because I've heard a rumor that the church office building keeps all the appetites of people in a vault so that they can bridle those appetites and passions. Anyway. So, but then a new piece of data has started to emerge. Recently, and that is the apostate food pattern, which this was I was surprised that there's so many garden burgers going on, right? Yeah. Right? So that the apostates, yeah. They apparently prefer more variation in their beverages, and they have a bit more adventurous palate, which is great. So then, out of curiosity, I decided to extrapolate the data on Boyd K. Packer's three favorite populations within the Mormon Church. So here, first we have the feminists. Have the gays. Sunstone crowd, the intellectuals. This is what I found. Intellectuals. So the data is super interesting. And what am I going to do with it? So I use the data to create a highly scientific and proprietary formula by which we can judge the righteousness of a family just by viewing the contents of their pantry. So here's a sample pantry. I had several people submit these to me, and I've forgotten all their names. So if you see yours and you want to claim it, so that's on you. So here's a sample pantry, one that I received. If any of these three are seen, it can be judged a righteous pantry. This is a celestial pantry. It's going to have a number 10 can of something, potato pearls, dehydrated carrots, at least two boxes of Jell-O or more. One box is just a recipe that you bailed on. And some sort of home canning preparation, a bottle or a jar of Nutella, and obviously the Mormon spice, cream of mushroom soup. If any one of these are seen, this pantry is in question. The bishop needs to intervene to set the pantry owner on a path to righteousness. And red wine vinegar, extreme orderliness, and a stockpile of caffeinated beverages. Those all require a visit with the bishop. You can tell him I sent you. And then, if any of these are seen, it is an automatic trip to the slippery slope of apostasy. It's in the Doctrine and Covenants. I'm surprised. Look up Vienna sausages and you'll find it. So obviously cream of celery soup. Anything celery is probably going to earn your trip straight to outer darkness. And Vienna sausages, just because, obviously. And then liquor. I mean, who needs liquor when you can get a good buzz off of NyQuil, right? Anyway. I don't care if you say it's for cooking. We all know. So, what I would like to do next is play a little game called Pantry Wars. And I need three volunteers. We're going to judge the righteousness of some pantries. Sister Klein, would you come up? I need two more. Two more?
Is your mic working?
All right. What?
Is your mic working?
It if I get really close to it. Do I need to stay closer to it?
It's supposed to be like an ice cream cone.
Oh, no. This is a lot of pressure. All right. I need two more. Amy, did I see your hand?
Yes.
All right. I need a third. Anyone? Anyone? All right. Katie. Come on up. So we are going to look at some pantries, and you're going to judge them. A celestial pantry, a heterodox pantry, or an apostate pantry. So, here, you'll each need... Okay, so separate this. You may want to sit where you can see...
Where you can see what's going on.
Like on this side?
And... As I show you these pantries, I would like you all to look for the things. Remember, I'm looking for cream celery soup, Vienna sausage. I did not Photoshop any pictures. These are real pantries in the wild. So I want you to look for these items, and we are going to judge and judge righteously. Okay, so the first one, what do we see? How are we... What do we see in this pantry? Do you need to sit closer? Yeah. I know. This is hard work. You don't have 43 years like I do.
Oh,
cup?
Solo cup.
That's a blender, right?
Yeah.
That's for cocktails. So.
Yeah, I was just like,
that one's that one on the left is one of my visiting teaching sisters. She'll be here on Saturday. All right, so let's move to the next pantry. This one.
They're labeled, and there's number 10.
Who
are these?
I do have to point out.
It wasn't extreme.
What's Argos in
it? That's cornstarch. And I have to point out that that cornstarch probably feels really unloved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have
some salsa right here, too.
That's labeled, though.
Yeah, I know. I know. All right.
I think she said extreme organization was bad.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
that's I do
yeah,
believe
that's
so.
Like step. Whoever this is, could you call me because I need your help?
All right, let's move to the next one. Here's this one.
Oh, that's Megan.
That is Megan Rains.
So are we labeling them both, or are we just picking the more?
I just think you should pick
on the right.
The Megan Rains.
That looks like an apostate registry.
They're basically Democrats over there.
Yes. It is a bishop's
that's
pantry.
Quinoa,
yeah, that's quinoa.
That's quinoa. But I do think, I believe that the pantry on the left is probably a ward librarian.
Yeah.
And she's probably the kind of librarian that measures the chalk when it comes back in. I chisel numbers into the chalk.
That's a big old thing of salsa.
Salsa? All right, well, good.
Salsa.
Okay, the next pantry is this one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is hard.
That's hard?
There's curry down here.
Yeah.
But a canner up top, what are you doing with that?
Is that my pantry?
This is a confused. Is that camel soup? Is that camel soup up on the right?
She has it is.
Desires. Yes, to be camel soup.
There's camel soup, hi!
Butter.
It's
hard to tell.
There's one
Jello.
That's Jello. It's a massive Jello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a
the
righteous vinegar.
White and delightsome vinegar.
With that one.
Yeah.
So you're gonna go
white
with that one.
Yeah, this one gets celestial. This one's heterodox.
Yeah.
We've got the apostate curry and they're figuring it.
Mine is on the left. Well, there might be. I'm married to a weird person. And Emma Robinson's on there, right? I know. She's super embarrassed about the amount of Jello she has. Okay, so the next one. She tells me there is food in
there's
the one on the left.
That's celestial, right?
She says the greenbacks on top are quinoa.
She needs to make her fluff.
Yeah.
Okay,
I just don't get what's going on. What is this?
Well, the one on the left, that's her flour and sugar. She says that's all she needs.
Wow.
Because apparently that's all you need to sustain someone trapped in your basement. I don't know.
Because the measuring cup doesn't
fit. What's going on?
That's the potty.
It's the potty.
It looks like there's something white at the bottom.
Yeah,
that's
what it is. All
right.
Yeah.
So,
I'm scared.
Oh, now this one. I'm just pointing out the fact that this one obviously is in charge. The patriarchy is in charge because we have two half-naked boys guarding the way. There's a white curtain in front. That out because I was I have a whole new meaning. Alright. And this is a pantry somebody submitted. Which I feel is really legit. So it is open 24 hours.
Don't you have to bag your own groceries there?
You do.
Yes, you do.
Across the plains.
They pay you 6 cents a bag if you bring your own bag.
Thrifty too.
So I like to bring 100 bags. They are on to me. Right. And then I felt like no matter what was in this pantry, obviously there's a celestial outside. So I would really love to know what's in this pantry.
That it's the maple syrup.
Find real such favor. Real maple syrup. Now you know. Alright, now we have a couple of pantries here that I would like to introduce.
Whoa!
Whoa. Yes.
I just want them to be my neighbors.
We're talking the first level of exaltation.
Oh, and then we get it figured out. You can buy some of her stuff down at the table there.
Oh,
right?
I don't know. Can you? Anyway, a chest freezer. Obviously, she's not disposing of bodies because she's using it for food. Maytag intended. And this is Alice Fisher Roberts.
Oh, who is that, Alice? How did I not know that?
I don't know. You've probably even been in it.
Duh.
And then, it's killing me that I don't remember whose pantry this is. But I also...
Root beer.
Hot chocolate.
Yes. There's root beer, hot chocolate. And way tucked back in the corner is a box of Costco truffles up on the top.
This is Julie.
Great
nuts.
Who is it?
Julie Hartley-Moore.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
Soy milk. Never mind.
There you go. I know. Isn't it fun? All right. I am done with you, ladies. But thank you. Okay. Woo. So, okay. So we've talked about the pantry. The pantry does not do us any good if we are not using it to strengthen and nourish our families. The first step to a proper Mormon nourishment is the casserole. Oh, what? Casserole comes from the French word to copulate. And copulation comes from the Mormon term for turn everything into fun and games. So, I made that up. Okay, don't. All right. Someone's taking me really seriously. None of this is real. So, I'd like to introduce you to something that I've been working on called the casserole matrix. So in the matrix, you'll see five columns of options. Every casserole, every proper Mormon casserole should contain one item from each column. And if you're feeling fancy, you might want to double up on a couple of columns just for fun. You have companies coming. So the five parts. So the first, we start with our protein, which is the star of the show, meat. That's how Mormons live. You're going to want to figure on at least a half a pound of meat per person. If that is too rich for your pocketbook, you might want to stretch that with some TVP.
Yes.
That your mom keeps in a 5-gallon can in the pantry. All right. So, typical proteins are ground beef, chicken, spam, leftover turkey from Thanksgiving that you put in the freezer in a Ziploc bag and you're just remembering to use, hot dogs, and tuna. But we don't want to ignore nutrition because we need to make sure there's some vegetables in our casserole. So... Mormons like their corn. It doesn't have to be like canned corn or fresh corn. You can use frozen corn. You can, add some variety. And if you're tired of corn, you can use peas. If you do use frozen broccoli, you're going to want to cook it in advance until you can mash it. So, then you're going to want something to a sauce to bind all of these together and to probably bind you up. And you have several options to bind that up. Sour cream. Sour cream is an option if you're rich. These have to come out of your pantry. All right. So if you ignore the most important portion of the casserole, the starch, all you really have is a bunch of glunk. So you're going to want to make sure you have a starch of some kind in your casserole. And then you're going to get that all together. You're going to want to put something fancy on the top of it, right? Good casserole has a topping. So we're going to add any of these things to the top of our casserole. I know a lot of people like to use cheese, which is good. I don't think you really want to add calories, or you do. It's really a last-minute call for everybody to make. So, the casserole matrix is not just for show. It's a very handy way of determining your dinner plans for the evening, and it's a very fun family activity. I would like another volunteer. So,
it's gonna be meat.
Sarah, I would like you to roll this dice. We're going to determine what protein we're going to use in our casserole tonight. 4, leftover turkey. I think I have a lot of that. All right, now let's determine our vegetable. Those are probably weighted in out of a box. What do we get?
3.
Ooh, corn. All right. Let's figure out what our binder's going to be.
6.
6. Sorry. All right. And our starch. The worst Vegas game ever. Oh, egg noodles.
Egg noodles.
Right?
I hate that.
You would.
Mayonnaise.
All right. And then I'd like you to pick our topping.
4.
What did you get? Happy thoughts and foil. Yes.
Tim and Percy.
That's the tender mercy. That is the casserole that Sarah would make. Now, I rolled the dice last night to make a casserole to share with everyone. I cooked it downstairs in the crock pot all day so that it would be prepared in time. When I rolled the dice, the first thing I rolled was a 5. And then a 2 or a 3. I couldn't tell. And then a 1, warm and spice, close to my heart. And then a 3. Then a 6. And I brought samples for everyone to try. So I'd like you all to come up and try a sample of my casserole matrix dish.
Get out of my way.
It's guaranteed to be delicious. It's guaranteed to be hot.
Is this the first ever Sunstone prepared casserole?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's got. They're gonna want this recipe.
That's what I rolled.
Oh, this is so awesome. You're my best friend.
Don't be shy. Don't be shy. The hot dogs, I'm sure, are only 90% chemicals.
Familiarity about it.
Never more.
Those are frozen potatoes.
Oh, frozen potatoes, that's right.
Were you not paying attention?
I forgot. I have a very bad memory. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
What?
Which binder is in this one?
Cream of mushroom soup. I did use Western Family brand because I believe families are forever.
But only if they live in the West. Right.
Right. Yeah. Only Western families are forever.
Wait.
Oh. Kim Turner. That's right. This is what casseroles do.
Would you like a plate?
No.
No.
I'll drink my Utah Diet Coke. All right.
It's
super hot.
It's maybe enough for your family to make, right?
Very good.
Confused looks.
You can't
can. Did you find one? Did you find a trash can? Good. Oh. Before I forget, I actually I have a copy of the casserole matrix with a magnet. I have one for everyone.
I'm going to take this away.
Magnets, so I printed them and I said, I need you to put magnets on the back of all these cards. And they said, why? I said, because it's a handout and that's how we do things. And they said, that is weird. And I said, trust me, it's going to be my favorite part. And I was not wrong. All right. So, casseroles. We're done with casseroles. So, all right. Huh?
What is she going to get a handout?
Oh, there's plenty. I have enough for everyone.
I thought I'd take some for your visiting teachers.
Yes! You would like to take some for the people you visit teach. There's plenty of that.
Is it considered rude to circle the things you'd like to see in your casserole?
Well, is anyone on the compassionate service?
This would not be compassion.
Well, that wounds me to my core. All right. So, in December of 2008, the church put out a very interesting set of instructions for a particular salad. Which has turned out to be very popular with young men from ages 18 to 21 in my exact geographical location. Well, maybe not where I am now, but, you know. I have, people don't believe me, so I have the actual issue. I borrowed it from my library, my church library, and then I went back and crossed my name off and said I'd already returned it. It was donated by somebody. And it's only been checked out three times, all three times by me. Okay. Someone's missing it. They know where to find it. What are they gonna do? Take my temple recommend?
Too soon.
I don't have one anymore. Okay. All right. So, yes, here it is in the article, and I have a screenshot of it as well. Oh. There we go. So, we have a working theory. So,
can you find this woman? Paula, that's her real name.
Paula Weed. Yeah, I know.
I read it. We can't read it.
Okay. So, the candle salad goes, well, I'm going to demonstrate it for you. First, put on my apron, because I am a messy cook, and also,
nice.
So, All right. I have to be by my microphone. Can you hear me if I do it, if I yell?
Yeah. The tape can't.
It doesn't pick up the recording.
Barf! Okay. Are you going to hold it for me?
I'm going to be your man of white.
That's a deacon.
It's a good thing. I'm going to be your deacon, I mean. What's going on? Okay.
So.
Made plenty of these, I'll have you know. And now, so you're going to want, have enough for everybody. I'm not making them all. You will be making them yourself. I am simply demonstrating. You want a ring of pineapple on your plate. You want a banana. Now, this is where you're going to need to partner up, because the whole banana is just gauche. Set it in the ring. We can see the candle shape taking form.
What?
Oh. Sorry. I was hiding my candle under. And then you're going to want to take a toothpick. This is the secret. My hands are covered with banana. You're supposed to put a little yogurt on the end, which I. I use a spray can of whipped cream.
Seems premature.
I don't know what Sarah's talking about. It's just a salad. So, take the cherry and put it in the top. And take a little coconut. You can toast it if you're feeling young. I just went. I went too far. So. Yes, and then you sprinkle the coconut around the thing. So it makes it a tropical salad. Now, the original recipe called for alfalfa sprouts. I wanted the children's friend. It also called for a strawberry on the end. So I feel like I classed it up, if that's possible. And if you would like one and you would like to make one, come on up. Don't be shy. Or if you just want to eat a banana.
I think there should be two lines. People who would like their picture posted on Facebook with their salad. And those who would like it never mentioned again.
I think that's fair.
Johnny, you need my banana.
Yeah, you're going to need a banana, buddy. Although, there can be one who flies solo.
President Packer says
no. I have a question, Jaron.
Yes.
How did you discover this salad? Did you read it in The Friend and think in your mind of what...
It was always a joke. And people would joke, oh, you know, the candle salad. And they would read it. And I said, well, it's only a joke if you can take it further and serve it to somebody. poo.
It was with the church to keep people's minds off of Prop 8. Maybe some kind of
I believe it was also originally printed in 70s.
So this is like folklore, and then you actually took it to the next level.
I did. Satisfied?
Okay. No, I have my camera back in my chair.
Oh,
I can just ignore you.
I can't.
Actually, hold it up closer to your face. There you go. Every place is back in this
window,
room. I think it's too big. I'll have to eat the end.
I need this for my monster.
Would you like to take it? I'm going to have to take it.
I really would. Yeah, because languages I can roll with, I can conjugate the verb tense.
Take it.
Really, are you done now?
Yeah, I'm done.
Awesome. Sorry, that's not what I meant. I didn't carry it on the airplane. It may not fit in my suitcase. Oh. You're a teacher.
Did Gerwin just give you that die?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm a teacher. I need one of these. I'm going to take it.
That happened.
Okay.
Just going to take
a picture for me.
I'm not good at zombies. I hate zombies.
Hold it up. Hold it close to your face.
It's a perfect size, too.
No, right?
Where did Nicole go?
Okay. Hold them up. There we go. Perfect.
Thank you.
You got it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, one more thing.
I have one.
Oh, wow.
So, while you guys are finishing up, and I told this story at the last session I was in, but a year ago, I decided, I was dared, sort of, to, I was having 6 missionaries over for dinner. And I was dared to serve candle salad to the missionaries. And I am never one to back down from a dare that I think will be funny. And so I did it. And I videotaped it. And it's on YouTube. And there's six elders in this picture. Whoa. How do I turn that down? Let's see if that works.
Thank you. No, so that's really like, well, if you can answer every single question I have here, then I was here to do the
me that if I don't serve candle salad, they're actually fairly disappointed. And they'll be like, is she going to surprise us with it? What's happening? So they now make sure. Anyway, so that is my exploration in Mormon food. I've done a lot of work. All my studies have brought me to this point. And I'd like to, if you have any questions, I am ready to answer any questions you might have.
Where did you get your apron?
Amazon. Yes?
Has BYU approached you about doing a cooking show?
I can't talk about that right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is Pyrex or Tupperware more celestial? Which one is?
Well, I am of the belief that Pyrex is more celestial, and I actually know a lot about the history of Pyrex, but it's super boring. So, I wasn't going to talk about it, but I can if you'd like to know. It was there. So, in the very early 1900s, there was a chemist who was working for a company that built light fixtures for train stations. And they were having this problem that the lights would heat up the glass so much, and then the snow would hit them, and they'd shatter. So they're looking for a different kind of glass that would withstand both cold and heat at the same time. And so he invented this new kind of glass, and he ended up cutting the top of one of them off and taking it home to his wife to see if she would like to try baking in it. And she did. She baked this cake inside this cylinder, and she told him, the best part about it was watching it cook through the side. So he went and made her some more pans to cook out of, and they ended up catching on. And the original size, I think, was, I have to look at my notes, but the original size was like 8 3/4 by 12 and 5/8 or something weird. And they marketed it as a 9 by 13 pan. It didn't have handles. And in the 40s, but they were wildly popular. And in the 40s, they did a survey of housewives and said, what is one feature that we could improve on? And they all said, handles. So that's when handles were put on the Pyrex pan. And let me think, what else can I tell you about the Pyrex pan?
I have an important note. So one time I was supposed to take a cake over to someone at the ward for their birthday, uh-huh. and I made it in a Pyrex pan, and I was late, like, so I was trying to cool it off really fast. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to go throw it out in the snow for a minute, and it will shatter.
Yes.
Yeah. If you leave it on the stove and accidentally turn it on, it will shatter as well. Mm-hmm. Twice.
If you mix a cake in a Tupperware pan and then forget to put it in the Pyrex and put it in the Tupperware in the oven, it will melt. If your BYU roommate tries to make peanut brittle in that Tupperware bowl in the microwave, it will catch fire.
You're out.
Oh. Do you two have a BYU cookie?
I love it. Hello, ladies. In the early 90s, the Pyrex brand was bought from Corning, and it's now owned by a company called worldworld.com, I don't know. And they changed the formula. So if you have old Pyrex and new Pyrex, there's like a green tint to the old Pyrex, and that's, you can tell it's Corning versus World International
Inc.
I don't know.
Are the old ones better?
The old ones are always better.
Yeah. Where did they get the name?
The name? Oh, Pyrex. So it came from the word for fire, right? The Greek. And then for pyre. And then X was a term that they were using for all of their products at the time. So everything was something X. I think the lamps were Lamp-X or something. I don't know. I'm not making this up. I'm just having a hard time remembering all my facts. I'm not looking at my notes. Anyway, so they experimented with several different sizes for many, many years, and it wasn't until the 60s, I think, that Betty Crocker said, all right, knock it off. Because we'd like to be able to tell people to use a 9x13 pan in the cookbook. If you guys can't get your act together, we can't recommend people use a 9x13 pan. So they standardized the size.
Betty Crocker correlated them.
Yes. That's
right. All right. Are there any other questions? Are you guys ready to help me clean up? All right. Well, thank you.